Oh, yeah. It's tail time. Again. Hello, everyone. You are listening to Hypocritical, a podcast by Hypocritic GG. I'm Lou, some call me Cheatspeak, and this is our deep dive companion piece for our video review of the Gex trilogy, the compilation of all three PlayStation 1 releases of the Gex series with some modernizations and improvements in place. A little bit of a disclaimer right before we get going here. This review was conducted on Xbox Series X via a review copy provided by developer and publisher Limited Run Games. The thoughts, impressions, and score contained here are entirely our own. We received neither editorial guidance nor compensation for this review from anyone associated with the Gex trilogy. We take great pride here at Hypocritic in offering unfiltered and uninfluenced takes on new releases just like this, and we like to remind you of that. So let's get rolling. A little bit of background on my perspective of our look at Gex. I did not grow up with the series. I don't have any real quote-unquote core memories of it. We were not a PlayStation household when I was a kid. My exposure to gaming was through, you know, the Game Boy Pocket, the Nintendo 64, and it was a Nintendo household for a long time. So I was, you know, kind of briefly exposed to Gex 2 and Gex 3 over friends' houses. You know, you play them briefly, you get your hands on consoles, you don't have that sort of thing. Typical kid stuff. But this review came from a relatively fresh perspective on the franchise, on the series, how it used to play back then. I did go back and take a good look at some of those original releases, comparing them to the modernizations that were done for this, and kind of put it all together in perspective here. So wanted to expand on three key points from our main video review, which is up on YouTube if you want to go check it out. It's not required reading for this, but obviously boost engagement. Always appreciate it. Three key points. Number one, what the Gex trilogy actually is and what it isn't. Number two, how the games play today with some of these improvements in place. And number three, comparing the digital and physical releases to give a little context to what you're getting and what you're not. Let's start at the top. What this trilogy actually is. As we note in the full review, the Gex trilogy is kind of more of a preservation effort than a full-on remake or a remaster. And it's really important going in to level set those expectations and understand the distinction of what's happening here. Most of what you get in the Gex trilogy in terms of modifications to the games, there aren't many, but they are thoroughly sort of optional quality of life stuff for the most part. You have native widescreen support and full 360-degree analog control for Gex 2 and Gex 3, but not the original game, and there's a reason for that. But again, those are optional. You can experience the game pretty much exactly as it was, at least in terms of the widescreen support. Back in the day, there are borders, there's a CRT filter, the usual sort of stuff you would expect. And then the normal sort of emulator-based improvements in projects like this, save states, rewinding, pretty far back in terms of how much you've played, and performance improvements, where these games will play flawlessly at a you know, very locked frame rate, where on the original, you know, release on the PS1, they would maybe chug a little bit. And you get your standard slate of bonus features as well. You get, you know, concept art, trailers, and TV spots for the games when they were, you know, first released and out there in the marketplace. Bonus features like a multi-part interview series with the U.S. voice of Gex, Dana Gould. You have footage of levels from other versions of Gex that aren't included here. Prototype footage, some other fun goodies for real serious fans of the series who know its history, who know all the different iterations of it across time, and that sort of thing. What I found interesting is if you kind of keep up with the online discourse around this release in particular, it has naturally opened up some discussion on the scale of these types of projects. When you have re-releases, remakes, remasters, preservation efforts, wherever you sit, you know, along that level of effort, some of these types of projects keep it a lot closer to the original experience, and some make it dramatically different than it was. You can sort of think of it on a spectrum, and that's how I like to sort of see it, where on one end, you have something like Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which modifies very little, if anything, about some of the games that are included, and honestly kind of does the bare minimum to justify a sort of compilation re-release update on these kinds of platforms. And then on the other end of the aisle, you have something like the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, which completely guts and rebuilds the entire thing from the ground up to support, you know, modern graphical techniques and rendering techniques and control schemes and tons of bonuses and new additional content, you know, all thrown in, a much more elaborate sort of effort. So along that whole spectrum, to give it perspective, Gex Trilogy falls a fair bit more toward the Super Mario 3D All-Stars side in terms of scope and inclusions, etc., as opposed to Crash. Now, there's a few reasons for this. In our lengthy interview with Limited Run Games and the people working on this, we understood that not having source code access to the original games kind of limits how much can be done, and things like the native widescreen support and the analog controls, according to Limited Run, had to be reverse engineered in to the binaries of the original games and worked into the Carbon Engine kind of emulator framework that Limited Run uses to power these kinds of releases. So there is some sort of ceiling on exactly how much you can do without rebuilding the entire thing from the ground up, right? And to that end, there, in all honesty, is probably not enough interest or audience to merit something like a fully ground up rebuild that Crash received, for example. I believe I saw that effort recently passed 20 million units sold. And this is, you know, with the utmost respect to Gex, you're probably not selling 20 million units of the Gex trilogy. That's just a matter of fact with how popular the franchise is. So in our opinion, we find a pretty reasonable middle ground here in terms of how many bonus features you get, what's sort of on the table relative to how popular this release may or may not be. And there will be some, you know, proof in the pudding there in terms of how many people ultimately buy this. Ultimately, there will be that online discussion, and there has been for a while, of whether what's in the package here is quote-unquote enough to justify a re-release or a compilation in this way and in this matter, and that's largely a philosophical one, and you can debate that all day long. In our opinion, we had the digital release, obviously, and at $30 retail, so that being considered the full price, average it out to $10 a game. We believe that's a reasonable asking price for what's on offer, given the bonus features, given all three reasonably lengthy games are included. You know, again, for comparison's sake, Super Mario 3D All-Stars arguably did a lot less to these games, at least, you know, the ones that were included there. And that was a full 60, I believe. So I think the value proposition is decent enough here to warrant, you know, good engagement and good interest from people who want this sort of thing. Number two, how the games play today. It's refreshing to see that these are still reasonably good 2D and 3D platformers. A lot of these early 3D titles from consoles like the Nintendo 64 and the PlayStation and the Sega Saturn don't hold up super well alongside, you know, more modern contemporaries and with the constant march of progress across the industry and the decades that have come since then. And you can find any number of those early 3D games, especially platformers, where they just don't hold up, you know, and they don't play as smoothly as you remember. Now, with a little bit of this massaging done with especially something like the analog controls for the later games, that does help a bit. But even by themselves, going back and looking at those original PS1 releases on the PS1 with those control schemes, they still hold up pretty well. To break it down really briefly here, Gex 1 as the 2D platformer and kind of odd duck in this series after it went full 3D is, in our opinion, the least good of all of them. Not to say that it's bad, but it's more average than I would say the later two games are, but it still plays very smoothly. Controls are responsive. The moves and traversal options available to you are at least interesting. Bouncing off your tail to defeat enemies, climbing up on walls and the ceiling and moving around all Gecko style, and climbing on the background, kind of like grates in Super Mario World, if you remember, kind of shuffling around on those. It is fun, and it's a reasonably good time, even though it's not a particularly lengthy game. There's not a ton of visual variety in it, and yeah, those environments are pretty painfully generic, I would say. It tries to convey the TV channel aesthetic that the later games do much better, as best it can. I don't know that it gets all the way there. And I know that the development history of that game in particular was very, very troubled and challenging. So you have to kind of understand the context of it, you know, at a certain point. And, you know, as we record this, that game is pretty much 30 years old. So you have to kind of keep it in perspective. So while it's maybe the least good of the three, it's still worth a look, though you may not engage with it as much as the stone cold, you know, I want to say classics of these, Gex Enter the Gecko and Gex Deep Cover Gecko. Again, the PlayStation 1 versions here. The analog controls really do make a difference. This is what I wanted to kind of zero in on a little bit more and wanted to make a real comparison on when you play those original PS1 releases with just the D-pad in hand, because I believe that's how it was supported at the time, versus the actual analog controls of this release. When you play it back on the PS1, you definitely find that it's, while not incredibly so, it is more rigid and more directional in how precise you can be in getting around. It's a little more, you know, eight-way control, not entirely, but you definitely don't have the fluidity that you would have in something like, to match it with a contemporary Super Mario 64. And that doesn't make it bad, I believe. Even on the PS1, the games play really well. They are still fluid. The platforming is satisfying, if basic. The environments and the parodies and the pop culture references are obviously all over the place and really entertaining. And again, a lot of that comes down to your perspective on, are you on board with how often Gex talks and all of the quips and the sort of, I'm going to say, lowbrow nature of some of the humor and some of the presentation. We touch on that more in the full review as well. But if you can get behind the concept, there are still very good games that hold up well here. So when you look at these in a modern context, it's not an incredibly dramatic change, to be totally fair. This is still very much that original experience that you got on the PlayStation 1, but noticeably smoother overall. You kind of do need to do a direct side-by-side, immediately one after the other comparison to really get the full scope of these changes. And you're probably not going to immediately latch onto a ton of things that are different if you're playing this, especially after not touching those older games for a long time. But for as few as those features are in terms of, you know, checkboxes on the back of the box, they are noticeable and appreciable. And they do ultimately make the games better, though there may be more subtle changes than you might see in a full-on, like I said, ground-up rebuild of something like this. So that alone, the quality of the product there is pretty good. And it was encouraging to see that, by and large, the games are as fun as they were back then, and even a little more so with them controlling a little more smoothly. Number three, we want to kind of expand on the availability of the game and its different release versions and editions for those who are interested. So to put it all together and in context, you know, again, watch the video for all of it, but we give the game 3.5 gloobies out of 5, the entire trilogy. The games are still fun. The games are still pretty good. And in our opinion, at least the $30 digital edition is worth the asking price if you really enjoy this series or you haven't touched it in a very long time and you are just ultra curious to scratch that itch again and dig into some of your nostalgic memories of it. I don't know how attractive this package is going to be if you don't already have some sort of vested interest in Gex. Maybe there's some overlap in people who have seen, you know, creators like Dunkey or Scott the Waz memeing on this series endlessly, kind of wanting to see where it all came from and checking out whether it is good or not. So that sheer kind of morbid curiosity factor may play a part, but largely, it seems the audience for this will be people who had, you know, as is often the case with these kinds of re-releases, people who have some form of attachment to this series or a particular game in it for some reason. So let's talk about the actual versions now. The digital version, as we record this on June 16th, 2025, the digital version is available now and $30 US for most of the major consoles that are available today and all the major platforms. PlayStation 5, the Xbox Series consoles, the Nintendo Switch and the Switch 2, and PC. No PlayStation 4 version, and I believe, don't quote me on this, but no original Xbox One version as well. You may need a Series console to play this. There is also a note on the Switch 2 if you're listening to this immediately after release. Nintendo, according to Limited Run, was slow in getting the support patch for the Nintendo Switch 2 available for that game. So again, as of recording right now, you know, late morning, Eastern time, June 16th, 2025, doesn't work. Keep that in mind if you're trying to play this on the Switch 2. However, I assume, you know, some point in the very near future that compatibility will be available. And Limited Run is advertising it as compatible with the Switch 2. So keep that in mind, depending on when you're listening to this. The timing of your putting this into your ears also matters in terms of availability of the three physical editions. So let's run through those quickly. There are multiple ways you can indulge in this in tangible form if you'd like. First, there's the standard edition, which is $40 US, so a $10 premium over the digital version. And that is strictly the game in a box with cover art and all. That is set to be available, according to Limited Run's website, as of right now. As of recording time, your mileage may vary when you listen to this, late October 2025, so that last week of October. Again, just the game in the box for the standard. The Classic Edition sells for $75 US. It is the game itself, plus a retro-styled PS1-looking box. that it comes in a steelbook, a curated soundtrack, so not the entire thing across all three games, but select tracks, and a poster, according to Limited Run, that is due to ship in late November 2025. And then there is the Tale Time Edition, which is $200 US. That is a lot of money for Gex, but you get some interesting things in there. So you get the game, plus the retro box, plus the steelbook, plus the poster, pretty much everything from the Classic Edition, a full soundtrack for all of the games. So you get all of it in physical form, a 36-inch, so a 3-foot-tall inflatable Gex doll, which, I mean, do with that what you will, a 7-inch Gex statue, a remote pin, like, you know, TV remote, trading cards, and really curiously, a box with art by Yoshitaka Amano of Final Fantasy game. Yes, that Yoshitaka Amano did art for Gex. Go figure. What a world we're living in. The Tale Time Edition is set to ship in spring 2026. So I believe late March, again, according to Limited Run. I imagine, again, by the time you're listening to this, maybe they've shipped, maybe they're not, maybe they were delayed, maybe things have changed. But that's the latest information we have right now. In terms of those physical editions, you know, the value proposition obviously fluctuates a bit depending on how attached you are to this. Are those extra goodies worth it? $200 for the Tale Time Edition? How badly do you want that inflatable Gex doll and that Gex statue? That's even more subjective than the baseline digital release or the standard one, $40 for the game in a box, right? And ultimately, again, that's where it kind of all comes down to. From our perspective, we spent time with the digital version, have not seen or looked at the physical editions at all, can't speak to the value prop on those. But again, for $30 US on a modern system with minor but appreciable quality of life improvements that are optional, in our opinion, it's a reasonable asking price. Hence the 3.5 gloobies out of 5, all things considered. You may feel differently. Maybe you were expecting more from this sort of release. Maybe you needed more quality of life enhancements or a bigger revamp to make this worth it for you. Maybe, you know, you just don't have that level of attachment and $30 sounds like too much. That's where it all gets really subjective. From our opinion, you know, I personally would have paid $30 for this if it was put in front of me, if I had that level of attachment to Gex. And again, maybe for the sheer morbid curiosity factor. That is ultimately up to you. And that's where you can chime in with our post-show comments on our Discord. Have a look at that. That was a phenomenal segue. What's your experience with Gex? Did you play these games growing up? Did you enjoy them? Did you not like the puns and the humor and the silly stuff? Did that keep you away from it? Regardless of that, are you planning to engage with the Gex trilogy now? Do you already have it? Have you played it? What are your thoughts on it? What would it take to get something like this on your radar? Let us know in our Discord. Hypocritic.gg is your hub for all things Hypocritic. Check out our live streams, convention coverage, video reviews, industry interviews, and more. And join our Discord community where you can react to topics we discuss here on the podcast and get the inside scoop on what's coming next from us. Well, thanks so much for listening. Stay fresh, cheese bags. We'll catch you back here real soon.